You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Hello, my beautiful friends. Coming to you this week again from the rich coast, that is Costa Rica. There is so much going on in the world, and where I am, looking out the window, there is so much surfing going on, and I really wish I had a healthy neck, because you bet I'd be out there busting ollies, dude. Not really, that's a skateboarding term, which I never got into skateboarding, but I would love to be out in the Pacific hanging 10 or catching a barrel. That's surfer lingo. But I couldn't do either of those things. And it's a little too advanced for me, even if I did have a healthy neck. I was raised on the mean suburban streets, and I'd be lucky if I just got up on a board and stayed a while, not doing some of that stuff they used to do on Nintendo. Which game was that? Where you could go up on the wave, come back down, go back up on the wave. I don't recall, but you know what I'm talking about, you Nintendo geeks like I was. I was just listening to Harry Styles. That song, As It Was, I like that song so much. And it's not a new song, but that don't bother me none. I just like it. It's new to me, which is how a lot of people talk about getting a car when it's used, right? I got a new car. Well, it's new to me. And then for a new car, they'll probably say, I got a brand new one, a brand new car. And since I rarely go 2 weeks without mentioning the GOAT, Lil Wayne has a song with Tyga called Brand New. He says, I pop 2X, that's Dos Equis. Brand new money, brand new hundreds. Got a bunch of zeros like a bag of new Funyuns. And speaking of Funyuns, we should probably talk about the Kyron Lacy situation. I asked his attorney to join me on the pod this week, but as you can imagine, his schedule was already packed to the gills, coach. That's what he said, his words. And then that night, my mom sent me a picture of her TV. She was watching TV at night, and he was on WWL or one of those New Orleans news stations. And frankly, if he's got to get his side of the story out, it'd definitely be better to go on one of those networks instead of the Man O podcast. So good for him. But that's not to say Man O can't get a word out. You're listening to, I don't know if you know this, but I probably not, since I didn't know until recently, but my audience size here is ranked in the top 2% of podcasts globally. Where you at? So thank you for that. I've got no show without you. And I've had a few people tell me that they enjoy these solo episodes as much as when I have guests, which is the sort of feedback that I really appreciate. I love feedback in all its forms, critical or otherwise. But it's the caliber of guests that I've had that is the reason that the show has grown. So thank you, those of you who've been a guest. There have been about 100 of you now. I've not had one episode where I've said to myself afterward, man, that was terrible. That wasn't any good. Not one episode. There have actually been 13 of those episodes. I'm kidding. Guests have been so solid, and I suspect that'll continue because I don't want no scrubs. You ever hear the rebuttal to that song, I Don't Want No Scrubs? It was called I Don't Want No Pigeons. Actually, no, it was called No Pigeons, actually. Great song. But yeah, growing pod, my mom's proud, I'm sure. Not really. I don't know that I have any family who listen with any regularity anyway. If they do, they don't tell me about it, which I've talked about before. It's weird not knowing how much people know about you. I'm over here on the mic spilling beans, and you don't know which beans got to them. Although I will say, if I ever mention a family member, it's all positive. Positive vibes only in these parts. And if I wanted to talk shit, I'd refer to them as a friend. So there's some inside baseball for you. But Mr. Ori will be back, I hope. Hopefully by the end of the year, I have plans to go down there to see him down in that boot. Because as you know, bitch, I'm from Louisiana. They call it that boot. For those of you further north than me, I don't know that I have any listeners who are from further south than me, who get down dirtier than I do, because I'm from way deep down dirty south, which might explain why this podcast now has an explicit rating on it. Actually, I have Curtis Pelchet to thank for that. I think he started all the F-bombs. He was dropping F-bombs like I was building a nuclear weapon underground in Iran or something. They just kept coming. But the fact that he's actually the furthest north guest I've had, isn't that ironic? Which, you remember, it's ironic like rain on your red, on your wedding day. You remember Alanis Morissette's ironic song? I remember when that song came out, it was like, I was in high school, and all those things that she rattled off in the song, none of that is ironic. It's just, it sucks. And maybe that explains why the CD was clean and yours truly is not. But yeah, old Pelch was dropping them, man. But I didn't mind. Yeah, I think it maybe gives Mano a little edge. But what I don't like is it keeps some people probably from listening in the car with kiddos in the back, because there have been a few times on a long trip, say from Houston to New Orleans, where I think my daughter's asleep in the back seat, and I'll put on an episode of Rogan, and every other word is the F word. And I'm thinking, how many potential listeners are they missing out on because of the foul language? But I'm sure JRE has enough listeners already. Any of you ever have your mouth washed out with soap for cursing when you were a kid? I remember being threatened a lot with that, but it was kind of, it was it similar to when I went to Catholic school, where I had this huge fear of the principal starting in kindergarten, because I was told if I acted up, if I misbehaved and got sent to the principal's office, that I'd get hit with a switch on the behind. And that never happened, not even close. So by the time you're in seventh grade, you realize, well, the teacher's not going to send you to the principal's office to interrupt his day because she can't control the kids in class, in her class. That would reflect poorly on her. So even when I got in a big fight in seventh grade and got suspended from school, nobody hit me with a switch. And at that age, come to think of it, if that had happened, I probably would have fought back. And that wouldn't have been good. You know what the principal's name was when I went to kindergarten? Mr. Ogeron. No relation to Coach O. I don't even think linebackers at LSU would have fought him. I think he tried at USC, if I remember right. But the Funyuns thing, I bring it up because the Kyron Lacy accident, everybody seems to be talking about all over my news feed. One of the girls involved in the accident, the one who went head on with the oncoming car, was reportedly eating Funyuns. So she swerved into the other lane to reportedly avoid the car that stopped in front of her. I guess it pulled over when, this is the state police's version, evidently a man pulled over to the right when he saw a green Dodge Charger coming at him in a no passing zone. It was just one, the highway was one way each way. And the gal eating Funyuns swerved to avoid him, hit another vehicle head on, tragically killing the Mr. Hall, the passenger in the car that she hit. And I really don't feel comfortable talking about this, since one of my best is so involved. He's the attorney for Kyron. So some of you know Matt Ory, he's the only guest I've had on the podcast thrice, and for good reason. He's one of my smartest friends, most successful friends, a very loyal friend, and a hardworking dude, and I have so much respect for him. I've had several friends sending me posts and TV clips saying, is this your buddy? And yeah, it is him. I've followed Kyron Lacy's career because he's from Thibodaux, where I'm from, and just about everybody in that small town has some connection to the Lacys. So I'll share mine. My brother was 4 years older than me. He still is growing up, and he would make the All-Star team in baseball some years. And I'm grateful for that looking back, because it gave me an opportunity to watch some really good athletes that I wouldn't have gotten to see otherwise. My brother, yeah, so he would have been probably 12. I was 8. I was 9, 13, 10, he was 14. So those are the ages I got to see my brother playing on this All-Star team. And the best player on the team was by far a kid named Ronnie Lacy. And much like I've talked about admiring Michael Jordan when I was little, you know, I couldn't look away when the Bulls were playing on WGN. Well, Ronnie Lacy had a similar effect on me. He was somebody I made sure never to miss his at-bats. I wasn't going to get a snowball at the concession stand when I knew he was coming up. So he hit in the two hole right behind another kid I looked up to, whose name was Scott Lirette. He had a little brother my age. And I think Scott Leroy was my dad's favorite player. He called him Muscles, and that was the only guy he had a nickname for that I remember on the team. So I guess I get that after my dad. I give nicknames to people I like. Ronnie's little brother, who was probably the age my daughter is now, he was always running around playing during the games, really too young to appreciate how good his older brother was and sit still and watch the game. He was a little wild child. But Ronnie Lacy was just this phenomenal athlete. Well, Ronnie's little brother, that little kid that was running around, that was Kenny, who is Kyron's dad. So that's how old I am. So I've always pulled for Kyron when he went to UL Lafayette and then transferred to LSU. I pulled for him from afar. And I know Matt, through all this mess, I hear, has dealt with a lot with Ronnie, and I know he thinks the world of him and the Lacy family. So Matt, you need to chat, bro. I'm here for you. The Lacys are highly respected down in that part of the world. And so just briefly, if you don't know, Matt released a footage of the fatal car accident where it looked like the Louisiana State Police Department was not doing right. And you may have seen Scott Van Pelt and Ryan Clark talked about it on Monday night on ESPN. And they've since released another statement after the state police released its own video showing what they believe demonstrates Lacy's culpability in the accident, believing he caused it. So Matt is one of my favorite dudes on earth, and out of respect for the Lacy family, I'm not going to comment further. I just think it's all very tragic. And when charges were pressed against Kyron Lacy, he was disinvited from the NFL draft. You know, it's all so sad. And he, of course, committed suicide in Houston. When I talk about how iron sharpens iron, by the way, Matt has been, as much as any friend that I have, the iron on the other side of that. And we've always, I think, helped to make each other better and stronger. And he's always been there for me when I've been through a tough time. And he has been through some shit, too. So keep your friends close. Check in with them. Make sure they're doing all right. What else is going on in the world? When we were in Prague, I had a buddy come visit. And I talked to him a lot. We got to know each other really well. And I took him on a train to Vienna and Budapest. And I saw this cool kid shirt in Budapest that had the same number 2 trolley on it with the Hungarian Parliament building in the background. And it was the same trolley that my wife and daughter would take to the market when we were staying there last summer. And so we stayed right behind the Parliament building on the Pest side. So Buda's on the west of the Danube, and then Pest is on the east side. So she'd wear that shirt. And another one I got for her was in Prague, and it said Prague on it and had a unicorn on it. Well, I asked her earlier this week in Costa Rica here, I asked my daughter if she had any Tika friends. A Tika is a Costa Rican girl. And I imagine just about all of them are Tikas. I went the first day to check it out, and all I saw were little Tika girls. And so I asked her, and she said, I don't know. They don't tell me where they're from, and they don't wear shirts or anything that say where they're from. So I think she got that from all the shirts that she's worn with places that she has stayed. But Harry Styles, As It Was, do you like that song too? I will put that song on and watch surfers for hours. Or I'll put on Seaside Demo. You know that song that goes, do you really want to be mine? Baby, we could see the seaside. Want to kick it with you? Yeah. Or because Cupid hit me with a bullseye. But nothing will make you feel older than having to sit and watch surfers and not be able to participate. I was even yelling down to people who couldn't get through the gate with big surfboards in their hand. I was yelling the code down to them from 10 stories up. And it looks so awesome. Like, I don't know if it was USA Games or X Games. What was that Nintendo game? If you know, please send me the right answer to that question. Girls surf here in one-piece thongs, which I've never seen before. I knew you were curious about that. And I never see a fat person on a surfboard. And for good reason. It is hard to get out there. You have to fight through waves to get out to the to where you can surf, and then once you take a wave, you got to fight your way back, and there's a reason they're all ripped. But my day is similar to Morgan Housel's day in the way that he talks about laying on the couch and reading, and it doesn't look like he's working, and then he'll go for a walk, And Nassim Taleb said, you don't want to trust a thought that comes to you, or only trust a thought that comes to you in the shower or on a walk. And as Morgan Housel will tell it, he gets a lot of his ideas for writing while he's walking. And I'm the same way. Ideas pop in my head when I'm walking a lot. Let's talk about markets. And I'll be sure to mix in some of the latest from the best movie ever, because there is a lot going on. So as markets go, we're seeing a little bit of mania, euphoric feelings in the markets, which is when lesser men tend to get greedy. So we want to guard against that by heeding the advice of Buffett, who says that smart investors don't need leverage, which just means borrowed money, that smart investors don't need leverage to become wealthy, and that doing so is an unnecessary risk. He would tell you the path to riches is paved with patience. And Berkshire Hathaway, Buffett's company, built value by reinvesting earnings and letting compound interest, which is the eighth wonder of the world, do its magic over many decades. And he would argue that using debt is one of the main reasons that even intelligent people often ruin themselves financially. Because while leverage can magnify your gains, it can also amplify your losses and lead to ruin, financially speaking. So we don't want that. He's used the analogy before of playing Russian roulette, where you usually win, but occasionally you're dead. I have a buddy who's been investing in a publicly traded satellite designer and manufacturer out of Midland, Texas, called ATS Space Mobile. Ticker symbol is ASTS, and it's done extraordinarily well year to date. Well, in July, there was an ETF started where its aim is for 2x the returns of ASTS, and that risky investment can be found at ticker symbol ASTX, if you're curious. And thus far, returns have been juiced because the stock's done really well. So on Wednesday this week, for example, the stock was up 10%, which means the ETF he's invested in is up 20%. But what happens if the stock were to go down 10%? He would lose 20%. So that's how that works. So amplifying your gains, and it could also amplify your losses. But it's important to note that he's not doing that with 50% of his net worth, because that'd be too risky, which is probably a pleasant way to say stupid, too risky. He's more doing what I do, which is he takes some calculated risk with about 10% of his net worth, and I don't even think he's doing 10% on this leveraged ETF. He's not, in fact. But nonetheless, that's a recent example for you, and there are several space-related companies like ATS Space Mobile that have done really well of late. Rocket Lab is another one that comes to mind. But as for me, I don't use leverage at all. Buffett has said taking on excessive debt is insane because you're attempting to get what you don't have and what you don't need by risking what you do have and what you do need. And as he has explained during a speech one time, he said, what difference does it make whether you have $110 million or $120 million? It makes no difference at all. Now, I can't relate to those sorts of numbers, but where this has come up in my life is when I'm encouraging young people to take the trip. And one of my guys told me last week he planned on going on a solo hiking trip by the end of the year, which I think is a great idea. But the way he floated it out there, as we were reviewing the grand plan for his life, which is part of our goal setting exercise, I told him what I'll tell you, which is get it on the calendar or you will not go. If there's something you want to do by the end of the year, put it on the calendar now, latest tomorrow, so you have a night to sleep on it, maybe run it by the boss man or woman, or even consider that you might be in a different mood the next morning because your boss called before 8 a.m. I had a master that used to do that to me. Yes, master. Call me early, early, early. Maybe he liked my raspy voice in the morning. I don't know. But if you're going to take a trip, get it on the calendar. That is rule number one for doing a trip. All right, let's get into the best movie ever. 8 GOP senators were spied on. Probably no surprise there. Especially since, Leslie, they spied on my campaign. I think they were seeing who they were talking to as it relates to January 6th. I'm not sure, but I haven't dug into it. There's too much else going on in this wild movie. For example, Big Tish has been indicted for mortgage fraud, which is a good thing. The sort of prosecution needs to happen if nothing else, to ensure the kind of lawfare that went on against Trump never happens again. Remember, the centerpiece of her campaign was to, quote-unquote, get Trump. And her principles are similar to that of the KGB, if you can call them principles, similar to the KGB in that she didn't know for what crime she'd try to get him on yet, but she was determined to score a political victory, and she would even show up and sit her fat ass in court trying to bankrupt him on ridiculous charges and confiscate his cash. Ridiculous novel legal theories were used that had never been used before while claiming nobody is above the law. I wonder how much she begged for a blanket pardon on Biden's way out. Actually, she probably didn't, because I would imagine she truly believed she was above the law. Having a strong leadership position in the biggest city in America and just being a person in a position to lead or get the communist show trials started in New York, because they had already been started in D.C., but all involved there got a pardon, I think. I saw where Kami Mangdani, the guy who may be taking the reins as New York City's next mayor, he posted his support for Big Tish this morning. Communism is ugly. It elevates mediocrity. That's why we have a Big Tish statue in the middle of Times Square now. And many Americans, because we'd never seen this in action before, I think we were a little naive, thinking that show trials and political assassinations couldn't happen in America. But they did. And yeah, we're trying to adjust, and they, of course, think it's revenge for them going after Trump, which is an admission, right? It couldn't be revenge unless they did something untoward. But I think they have the goods on her. I read the indictment this morning. The mayor of another of America's largest cities, Chi-Town, Chiclagla, Brandon Johnson is his name. He's a black fella who's always reminding us that he's black every chance he gets. What else is a race commie to do? But this fella, who's an insurrectionist from my view, he says he's going to have ice-free zones around Chicago. Yeah, that'll work. Genius. But if it were to succeed, I'm going to run for mayor someday, like Mayor Goldie Wilson. I like the sound of that. And when I do, that's Back to the Future. When I do become mayor as a member of the party of day one dictators, I would institute an IRS free zone. And which I don't know if you've heard, but about half of IRS employees were furloughed as a result of this shutdown. As of Wednesday, it was 34 of 74,000 were furloughed IRS employees. Remember when the Biden crime family was running the country and they were so kind as to give us the Inflation Reduction Act? A name done for marketing purposes, obviously, to sell a bill to dupes, but because they always do the opposite of what they state in the name. The Affordable Care Act is the most famous example, otherwise known as Obamacare, the first piece of major legislation ever to pass in Congress without a single Republican vote. And it only affected 1/6 of the American economy. It affected every American, but it was never designed to be affordable, of course. The ultimate troll, Trump, he called his bill the One Big Beautiful Bill, something that he could probably sell on its substance, I would think, but it forced the actors, the actresses on the three-letter networks to talk about Trump's Big Beautiful Bill. So Trump is hilarious, but Biden authorized $80 billion in funding for the Internal Revenue Service. You remember that? They were going to hire 87,000 employees or something, something only a communist would support. And of course, while Trump is constantly facing these judicial coups as we speak, he's limited in what he wants to do by the courts. The Biden administration was like, you have $100,000 worth of school loans you took out. I'm going to delete that for you. Supreme Court be damned. I don't care what they ruled. The Nobel Peace Prize just today was awarded to a lady in Venezuela. I imagine she is CIA aligned with the global elitists. I don't know for sure, but I presume she's in Venezuela. I think she's in hiding, actually, because she had to go into hiding after leading the opposition to the Maduro regime. I don't know if the USA is going to invade Venezuela. We'll see what happens. I believe we still have 4,000 troops in and around Latin America right now, trying to end the flow of fentanyl into our country. the Nobel committee chair, who, when asked why the Nobel Prize, the Peace Prize, didn't go to the man responsible for ending more than a half dozen wars around the world and getting a peace deal done in Gaza, well, I think they had to be nominated in January for the 2025 Nobel Peace Prize, but he said, we only give the award to people of courage and integrity, coming from a man who obviously has no courage. I'd want to dig in to find out about his level of integrity, too, because projection is the communist way. He was afraid of the blowback from his communist ilk, I imagine, if they were to give the prize to the most deserving person, probably ever. I don't want to speculate whether he's gay or European. That's always the question when you hear some flamer across the pond tell you what he thinks. But he had a chance to display some courage and failed miserably. And as far as courage and integrity goes, the recipient, this Venezuelan gal, immediately dedicated her prize to Trump, which is nice to see. Good for her. But the Nobel Peace Prize is a joke. And we've known that for a while, especially after Obama won it in 2009 for, doing nothing. That was a blank. I left a silence there to demonstrate that he had done nothing, but he won it. I saw where Obama praised the peace agreement in the Middle East and couldn't bring himself to mention that it was Hitler who led the effort to end the war in Gaza. The joke used to go Trump could cure cancer and commies would find a reason that that wasn't a good thing, much like Trump is close to preventing trannies from owning guns. I don't know if you've heard that, but which is probably a good idea, seeing as what, 6 out of the last 7 school shootings were trannies, and the one that wasn't, I believe, was non-binary, something like that. You know who I really like is Stephen Miller. What a stud that guy is. How can you watch someone like him talk and not know if he's telling the truth? I genuinely feel bad for those who try to debate him because he is too smart for a communist every time. I just don't know how many people think to themselves, well, is this person lying to me? Or be able to discern whether or not they are lying. And I know I talk about this a lot, but for many of you listening, it's just a natural part of who or what you are. You're listening to somebody, you're following their body language, their word choice, what they do with their face. But so many people don't do that, or they don't have that ability, or they're on a team and don't care. Of course, that's possible. But these are people who are easily prone to negative emotion. They're very sensitive in that way and tend to be neurotic, but they don't have that sensitivity to know, like that feeling you get that tells you, wait, this person's trying to deceive me. I guess there's not enough intellect to override the emotion they feel. They don't take any time to examine their emotions. Like when you get angry and you let the feeling settle and then apply your mind to the situation, you've got to be able to dig below what's triggered you to see where it started and why you're feeling a certain way, which is another reason to journal, so you can write down your thoughts and feelings and you can go over them with ruthless objectivity. But it's the ego blinding these people. They've got massively inflated egos. They think they're right all the time. And they feel that they're right, and so they are, in their mind. Believing a lie or just believing anything that they might be comfortable hearing. Like if they hear something that might be comfortable and they indulge it, it's going to be disastrous long term if they don't examine themselves truthfully, which they never do. Because this egotism that feeds your inability to admit when you're wrong, that's going to render you unable to see reality as it is. It'll mean you're unable to learn things going forward or make any real progress in life. So you want to be able to find some solitude, get some detachment so that you can be objective and get to know yourself and your emotions. You want to be neutral. Find a neutral position from which to observe your thoughts and actions. And eventually, all of that will become second nature. But you've got to put the work in first, and it's effortful, and so people aren't willing to do it. And a lot of these crazies, they're not going to do that. They're not. They won't do it. And all it would take is getting some separation between stimulus and response, which meditation helps with that. But understanding people and different situations can be fun. It's like solving a puzzle. And it'll provide more aha moments. Does anyone not enjoy those aha moments? I guess not if it takes a little bit of work. I don't know, but is it only people who read who like that? It can't be. I was going to say, is it only people who read who like that kind of thing? But I know they do read some. I think it's half the reason I read. I want the aha moments, like, ah, that makes sense now. Thank you, Mr. Author. But thinking and emotions, they're inextricably linked. You can't divorce them entirely. The ancient Greeks, they called it the rider and the horse, with the horse being our emotional side that has all the energy and the big hind legs, the big ass to give you some horsepower. But if there's no rider sitting on the saddle, the horse will go wild. And the rider is the governor, which I've heard some coaches refer to the rider that way. The rider is the thinking that controls and guides the horse. So you want the optimal approach. You want the best balance of both emotion and thinking. It's the rider who ensures that all that energy that is provided by the horse, that's provided by God, is directly, you want to be able to control it. You want to make sure it's channeled properly. Instead of being a slave to your emotional whims, you channel it productively. Be a good little jockey, even if you are over 4'10". I can't imagine any sort of clarity, any clear thinking without the ability to tame the emotional side of you. That's where all poise comes from. That's what enables better decision making. And trivial matters will never matter to you again. Let's end with a Gerwinder. I think I found one that perfectly encapsulates much of what I've talked about today. It's called the false consensus effect. We assume everyone is like us, so our beliefs about others are derived from our knowledge of ourselves. Predictions of others' behavior often tells us more about the predictor, and accusations often tell us more about the accuser. Yeah. I talked more about this last week, but we touched on it today as it pertains to all the lawfare we witnessed in America for the first time. Big Tish appears to have done what she accused Trump of. Joe Biden had done what they accused Trump of related to classified documents. In fact, there was so much projection, threats to democracy, the J6ers trying to stop what they believed was an insurrection, the military being suckers and losers. Trump's got dementia when their guy does, obviously. All Trump does is lie. Nobody shows up to his rallies. The border is secure. Trump is doing quid pro quo in Ukraine. He's in it for himself. He's cozying up to dictators. Meanwhile, COVID came from the strongest communist dictatorship in the world. Trump's going to start World War III. Trump is racist. Trump's a Nazi, while it's your team who hates Jews. We didn't talk much about the historic peace deal in Gaza, which is a big deal. I'm sure the communist Democrats are celebrating the end to what they said was genocide. No? Oh, they're not celebrating? So it wasn't a genocide? That you were just kidding about all that? You actually just want all Jews dead? Yeah, I knew that. I'm going to go on the balcony and watch some surfers because I need to get my mood back. I appreciate you listening. You can find me on the socials at man_overseas. And if you want a copy of Morgan Housel's new book, leave a podcast review somewhere. I'll send you one with a little inscription inside. I never give a book away without writing the date and a little note inside. And I encourage you to do the same if you're a gift giver of books. I'll chat back at you next week. God bless.